Wolves Cast, audio on demand.
Welcome into another episode of Wolves Cast Audio on Demand. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Coming up on this episode, check in with Jamal Crawford. We'll talk about the chemistry he and Gorgie Jang have on that high pick and roll. What's different in the fourth quarter as Jamal raises his game there and much more. Plus, we'll go three in the key, take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. But Cal, before we get to all of that, let's start with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Wrapped up that five-game homestand on Sunday, sweeping it for just the second time in franchise history that they've gone a perfect 5-0 in a five-game homestand. They also had a six-game homestand in which they went 5-1. So third time in franchise history, they've won five straight on a homestand. And again, second time that they have swept it. And they did it in grand fashion, beating some playoff teams in New Orleans, in Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and the Portland Trailblazers, and winning by an average of nearly 18 points. It was a very, very impressive homestand. What were some of the things or takeaways that stood out to you?
I think what you mentioned, the opponents that they dispatched of, and that list is obviously impressive. I think they found different ways to win at times. I think that Knicks game kind of stands out. It was like a 1 or 2 point game going into that final frame, and they were able to hit the gas there. So that was impressive. Getting that tiebreaker with the Thunder, we had talked about that entering the homestand. That was going to be a big one, and it could mean a lot more down the line in terms of playoff positioning, and just continuing to reinforce some of these longer-term habits that we've heard the coaching staff talk about, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson talk about. I think the defense showed some real positive, tangible signs that we can keep an eye on moving forward, and guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins continuing to take that next step in their development, especially defensively, being active on multiple different fronts, trying to continue to bolster that defense.
Yeah, I think that defense is really the biggest takeaway, how good that defense is playing right now. And just kind of interesting to look at the first couple games against New Orleans and Cleveland, blowout wins start to finish wire to wire for Minnesota. The next two, close game, tie game against Oklahoma City at the half, big third quarter propelled Minnesota to victory. As you mentioned, the New York game, 1 point game going to the fourth quarter, 16-4 run, blows that one wide open. And then in Portland, you know, the Blazers led after one, and then Minnesota's defense locked in so good in that second quarter, held them to 2 of 15, shooting just 10 points. And it was, you know, pretty much a blowout the rest of the way. Portland did make a run there late in the third quarter. But what I like is, you know, you're seeing this team respond. And whether it's getting off to a great start, building a lead, and extending that lead in large part, again, due to their defense and that offense playing out of the defense, or if it's a tie game at the half or in the fourth quarter, whatever it is, you know, responding and making the necessary stops, allowing that offense to get up, get some easy looks, and build back the lead. So I think, you know, it all starts with their defense, and their defense just playing at such a high level right now. Also really like the ball movement that we saw. A couple of those games over 30 assists. The ball movement was good. Karl Anthony Towns, one assist shy of a triple-double Friday against New York. And then a balanced scoring attack. And I think as the ball moves, you're getting that balanced scoring attack. A couple different times, we saw three guys over the 20-point mark in games during this five-game homestand. So guys have a trust in each other on the defensive end. They've got a trust in each other on the offensive end. As Coach always says, they're trusting the pass. It's leading to easier looks for guys, and they're able to knock them down. So I think, you know, those three things, defense, ball movement, and balance have been the biggest takeaways.
And off of that, too, with some of those big leads, we saw the second unit kind of come in and establish a little bit more chemistry with one another, whether it was just not as many minutes for them at times earlier in the season, or guys like Tyus Jones having to step up and not play with those same few guys he was used to. We saw the second unit really have an impact on some of those games as well, whether it was Gorgie, Jamal Crawford, Tyus, and Jeff Teague looked good as well. I think he's going to get more and more comfortable sort of reacclimating and just getting his game legs and game conditioning back. So yeah, a lot of positive things for this team to build on, and as you mentioned, just versatility in the wins, whether it was starting strong and blowing the Cavs out, or responding after slow starts in that Knicks game and stymieing runs like they did with the Portland Trailblazers kind of in that third quarter. A lot of really things that you can point at and hopefully build off of.
Well, and that second unit has been interesting. Now the Belly's gotten back. We've actually seen him the last couple of games play more at the three. And the unit that has been most interesting over these last couple of games has been Belly at the three, Gorgui at the four, Cat at the five, and then a backcourt of Jamal Crawford and Tyus Jones. And twice we've seen that unit really create some separation. 16 to five, was a run to open the fourth quarter with that group on the floor. And then against Portland as well, we saw that same group really help blow things open. And I think when you've got size like that, I mean, Belly, Cat, and G are huge. I mean, that's a huge front line. But Belly gives you the ability to stretch the floor. Obviously, we know Carl can stretch the floor. Gorgui's added the three-point shot to his repertoire. And then you've got Tyus and Jamal, both guys that can knock it down from deep. And suddenly you're looking and saying, all right, this is a huge lineup, but they don't play like a huge lineup. And the ball moves with those guys. I mean, we've talked about Tyus being one of the best in terms of just keeping the ball moving all the time. Gorgui, coaches signaled him out before as a guy that whether he gets it, you know, into the dribble handoff, making that extra pass, Carl passing out of the double team, and Belly's a playmaker too. So that unit is a lot of fun to watch. We haven't seen it for extended time, but in these last couple of games, we've gotten glimpses at it, and it's been a fun unit, and it's provided some separation for Minnesota.
I think it's been a ton of fun to watch Nemanja Bjelica as kind of a facilitator and playmaker, and You can tell at times when whether he's making his way back from an injury and there's just a little bit of apprehension, and maybe it's even, you know, getting back used to some of the teammates that he's out there with. But when he's comfortable, there's no hesitation to his game. He's got the three-point shot. He's a really gifted and I think underrated passer, just with maybe us not being as used to it due to some of the bad luck injury history and some of the other factors surrounding him that are obviously out of his control. So I think if he continues to stay healthy and get some of those consistent minutes to get into that rhythm, that could be a fun thing to watch moving forward, as obviously looking forward to the back end of this month of January, the games are still going to come hot and heavy, and that second unit's going to be relied upon.
All right, we'll talk more about the second half of January next week as Minnesota in the midst of a stretch of 7 out of 9 on the road, and they're going to be tested with Toronto coming up on Saturday here at Target Center. You've got Houston on Thursday, and then next week, Golden State and Portland in back-to-back games. So we'll talk more about that the second half of January coming up next week. Final thought here as we wrap up this opening segment. Yesterday, Timberwolves announced that they've signed Emile Jefferson to a two-way contract. He fills that second two-way contract slot that they had open, joining Anthony Brown as the two guys on two-way deals with Minnesota. The deadline to sign players to two-way deals was Monday, so Minnesota got it done before that. And Emile Jefferson, Cal, was a guy who was into camp with Minnesota, went down to the G League and really stepped up and has played well for Iowa, leading the league in rebounding. And every time we check in on the Iowa Wolves, it's the two guys putting up big numbers are Emile Jefferson and Anthony Brown. They're scoring the basketball, they're rebounding the basketball, and they've been a big part of Iowa's success down there. So nice to see a guy like Emile awarded with a two-way contract. And it'll be interesting, Coach Tibbs saying after shoot-around today that the G League season obviously ends before the NBA season. And so depending on where Minnesota is, you could bring those guys up. And it's almost like in baseball where you get September call-ups and, you know, you let them work on their game down there. They come up and in the second half of the season or later in the season, they could really help you out in terms of preparing for teams, practice bodies, you know, stepping in and providing depth in certain positions. So great to see Minnesota, you know, fill that two-way contract spot and see a guy like Emile Jefferson rewarded.
Absolutely. And he was one of those recognizable names at Duke. And it was interesting to see him in camp. And I think he's kind of the product of the Wolves having their own G League affiliate now, because certainly he's playing Tom Thibodeau style basketball. I think he leads the G League in rebounds, and he's just a guy who is shooting the ball efficiently. If you can crash the glass, I think you're certainly going to catch the eye of this coaching staff. Because it's a point of emphasis for this big club, the Timberwolves team, and the fact that he just kind of took it to heart and wanted to play the way that the Timberwolves kind of had a message to play, and he gets rewarded for it. So I think it's a great story, and I'll be very intrigued to see if, like you mentioned, if he gets some more time up here, even just practicing with the big club a little bit more as the season goes on.
And speaking of the G League and the Iowa Wolves, Justin Patton, Minnesota's first-round draft pick from last season, still down there as he works his way back from that foot injury. And Coach Tibbs saying after shoot-around today that he likes the job he's been doing down there, likes that he's getting the conditioning back, but did not put a timetable on his return to the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll take a quick timeout. Still to come and go three in the key, the top three storylines this week in the NBA, but next, conversation with Jamal Crawford right here on Wolvescast Audio On Demand.
Get ready for a battle of the North on January 20th as Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves square off against DeMar DeRozan and the Toronto Raptors at Target Center. Catch Northern highlights from the pack as they ascend and attack and show the boys from Canada who really runs the North. Tickets are available at Timberwolves.com, so get yours now to see the Wolves in action. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north. The Minnesota Timberwolves are presented by U.S. Bank.
Welcome back to Wolvescast Audio On Demand. John Fokey here. Coming up, Cal Soderquist will rejoin me. We'll go three in the key, take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. But first, coming off sweeping that five-game homestand, wanted to check in with a member of the Bench Brigade, Jamal Crawford. We talk about the chemistry he and Gorgui Dieng have developed in that high screen and roll, what's different about fourth quarters, and how this team has come together over the past month.
All right, Jamal here. You and Gorgui Dieng have developed a nice little chemistry with that second unit, and we want to focus in on these pocket passes.
Yeah.
What do you see when you and G line up there for that high screen?
Well, G is such a good screen setter that I'm just trying to get downhill to cause some type of confusion. Once I do that, they're kind of stuck in between. He's such a great mid-range shooter. I call him the mid-range master. So I'm just trying to get it low enough that I know he's within range and then give him some time to settle and catch. And when I think he shoots it, I think it's going in.
What's the key to that pocket pass? Is it holding on to it long enough to draw the defender? Is it, you know, waiting to split the defenders? How do you decide?
It's a little bit of both, and you have to make quick reads. I think that's what it's about. But the better screen that Gorgui sets, the more space I have to get downhill, and the more space I have, the more space he'll have ultimately is to get that shot off.
You know, it's funny that as the mid-range master, as you call him, they still go to you and leave him open. At some point, you got to imagine they're going to start diving over to him, right?
Yeah, because you're taught to stop the ball. You know, the ball is a problem. You want to stop the ball, and the longer I can drag them out and get them to stay with me, I know he'll be right there for that shot. So I'm just trying to hold them, to bait them, and to stand with me just a second longer. That second can change everything for him.
And just the screens that he sets, too.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, they get you wide open. They cause confusion, and usually the way you're taught is the better screen you set, the more open you'll be ultimately, and he does a great job of that.
All right, we've seen you come up with some big fourth quarter performances. We've seen this team come up with some big fourth quarter performances. Tibbs talks about it all the time. The fourth quarter is different. What's different about the fourth quarter?
It's totally different. It's winning time. Obviously, I think everything tightens up. Some guys get more tense. Some guys get more relaxed. I think we're becoming a team that's more relaxed in those moments. The more we go through it, through trial and error, I think the better we'll be in the long run.
And how do you become more relaxed in those moments? Is it just experience? Is it seeing success?
Yeah, I think both. I think experience is the best teacher. So actually going through it and seeing you can have success doing certain things and playing a certain way, it gives you confidence. When you have confidence, I think anything's possible.
Kind of seems like we're seeing you guys smile more in those fourth quarters, too. You're having a little bit more fun in those moments.
Definitely. We're getting more comfortable. We really are. We've been through them. We lost some of them. You're not going to win every single one, but if you can win majority of them, I think you win majority of your games.
And as we wrap up here, just give me a thought on Target Center and what you've seen. At the beginning of the season, you said it kind of felt like a shooter's gym, but now that it's packed with all those fans, what's it like out there?
It's unbelievable. They've been great. They were our true sixth man. They've been our sixth man, especially yesterday. They gave us so much energy. They make you play faster. They make you play just a little bit harder. And games are very, very slim, so any edge we can get, we'll take.
Jamal, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, great stuff as always right there from Jamal Crawford. Be sure to keep it right here. When we come back, we'll rejoin Cal Soderquist. Take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA as we go three in the key on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Experience the pack like never before with the all-new official mobile app of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Whether you're at home at Target Center watching the game or anywhere around the globe, the app is your remote control for all things Timberwolves. Head over to the App Store or Google Play to download it now. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Welcome back, Wolvescast Audio On Demand. John Fokey, Cal Soderquist right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. As we wrap things up, time to go three in the key and take a look at the top three storylines this week in the NBA. And we'll start with maybe the biggest storyline. It happened last night. The Clippers Clippers and Rockets, a little post-game skirmish. And Cal, rather than focusing on, you know, what happened in the locker room and what was said and who said this and who said that, you know, all of that is better left for people like Adrian Wojnarowski, who were on the scene and have more information and depth of knowledge on it.
Or maybe the designers of the Staples Center back hallways with all the secret corridors.
The Hogwarts of the NBA. But what I want to focus on is the people involved, and I know the NBA immediately started investigating last night. There are reports that it could take a couple of days before we figure out exactly who's going to be punished for what and for how long. But if you think about the names involved, Chris Paul, James Harden, who didn't even play in the game, and Harden was rumored to possibly be making his return Thursday against Minnesota or in the Rockets game on Saturday. But Chris Paul, James Harden, Gerald Green, Trevor Ariza, and Clint Capella. These are huge names. I mean, that is practically their starting five right there. And so if there are suspensions that are handed down for any of those guys for any length of time, it is really going to impact Houston. And I say this selfishly, looking ahead to Thursday when Minnesota is going to be down there, then the Wolves might be preparing for a Chris Paul, James Harden backcourt, and they might end up with an Eric Gordon I don't even know.
Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, like those guys. So this could really impact not just the season in general, but specifically Minnesota's matchup on Thursday.
Yeah, I think that the factors – so you mentioned that the league is – they want to make sure that they investigate and get kind of all the details. But at the same time, I bet you want to set a precedent a little bit because obviously we've been in locker rooms. Not, I haven't been in the Staples Center locker rooms, but – It's tough to even imagine.
But I've never seen
another team.
Doors.
I told someone in an affiliate call earlier today that you rarely even see a team's coaches. Like the Timberwolves coaches are not often in the locker room with the Timberwolves players. It's primarily the players' space, and that kind of differs depending on each team and how they operate. But it's tough to imagine, and I think the NBA just wants to make sure that there are boundaries set, and this is something they're going to take seriously. So, yeah, we'll see how if the Rockets are shorthanded or potentially if there is a ruling and then the players are able to appeal and play Thursday, who knows. But definitely interesting both just short-term for Thursday and then long-term and how the NBA wants to handle this.
You know, and the other thing to keep in mind is that maybe the Clippers aren't so innocent and some of the things that the Rockets brought up, maybe that gets reviewed via tape and we end up with maybe some discipline on the side of the LA Clippers. And again, thinking selfishly, the Wolves will be out at Staples Center to face the LA Clippers coming up on Monday. So a interesting situation, a lot of twists and turns. It's actually, I mean, as serious a situation as this is, it's been kind of funny to read the reports and you know, see people having fun with the, you know, the Hogwarts conversation and the back hallways and, you know, the Trojan horse of sending Clint Capella
the
to the door. Yeah, as a distraction. So not funny, but amusing at the same time, although the situation is obviously very serious, and we'll see how it impacts Minnesota's couple of games there Thursday against the Rockets in Houston and then next Monday at Staples against the LA Clippers. Yesterday, Cal, was the NBA's celebration of MLK Day, and basketball wall-to-wall, and the NBA always does a great job remembering MLK, getting that message out. And right now, I just want to take a quick moment to hear from Karl Anthony Towns and Jamal Crawford on their thoughts about MLK Day.
Martin Luther King Jr. was such a great leader because he was selfless. He thought about other people before he thought about themselves. I thought that he was doing things with no agenda. It wasn't for just one particular race or one particular gender. It was for everybody, and he had this vision a long, long, long time ago. So for me, I thought he was one of the best leaders in American history, period, for that reason.
MLK Day is a special day because it shows unity, courage, strength in a man who wanted the equality for every one of us, not only just for African Americans, but for all races. And for him to put his life on the line for his cause of what he truly believes in shows a courage and a strength that a lot of us don't have and needs to be recognized.
So, Cal, we hear from a couple members of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but, you know, unfortunately for the Wolves, they did not play. They weren't a part of that celebration. They obviously honored MLK Day at Target Center pregame before Portland on Sunday. Karl Anthony Towns with some words. They've been wearing the I Have a Dream shooting shirts and everything. But for a long time, Minnesota did host on Martin Luther King Day, and they had some great games. Obviously, the Malik Sealy game winner was on MLK Day, and they were part of that celebration at Target Center for a number of years. And, you know, the NBA just does such a great job, number one, of aligning up the games with cities with ties to Martin Luther King, like Memphis, and cities with ties to the civil rights movement, like Atlanta. And I just love the way that they're tying NBA basketball in to larger social issues. And I thought yesterday was so interesting to hear the thoughts. The NBA Players Association sent out a video of players say finishing the I Have a Dream speech. You know, one day I have a dream that, and the players would finish it with what they wanted. There were some great, you know, introspective thoughts and statements from Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich. And I just really love the way the NBA is marrying up basketball with social issues and giving their players and coaches a platform to express themselves.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the NBA always does a great job with things like this. But what does it for me is the players are truly engaged with it. And I think it's one thing for a league to kind of mandate any sort of an initiative, but if you don't get that interaction from players and kind of truly the responses that we see from them and from the coaches and all the different things that these guys do in their communities, I think is what makes it so special. And you can tell the players truly are engaged. And I think the NBA leads the sports world just in terms of their players being socially aware and socially conscious of their platform and who and how far their voices can kind of reach on any of these issues. And I think that's where you really just have to commend the players for their ability to recognize that.
Well, I think you also need to commend the league for supporting the players and giving them that platform and, you know, not kind of taking away from that like maybe we've seen in other leagues where you do have disputes between the players and the league about how certain things should be handled. So just a big tip of the cap for to the NBA, to the Players Association, and to the coaches for sharing their thoughts yesterday and really throughout the season, year in and year out, about Martin Luther King and connecting to communities and things like that. It's just very, very good stuff. NBA.com, you can get all sorts of information about really the week-long tribute to MLK and celebrating him and his message throughout this week. We will wrap up our Three in the Key segment with this one. News coming out last week, you know, we've gone through a couple of rounds of All-Star voting and the final voting ended on Monday, but news came out last week that Kevin Durant, who was leading the Western Conference for a while, he dropped back his teammate Steph Curry in our last round of returns, had taken over the top spot, and Durant said, hey, that's fine with me. I don't want the pressure of picking a team this year. Steph Curry, meanwhile, says he's cool with it. If you're in that situation, okay, you've got to put yourself in, you know, Kevin Durant's size 17 shoes or whatever it is, and think about having an opportunity to pick the best pickup game, the best pickup team in the history of the world, maybe. Would you want that pressure? Is it too much pressure? I mean, to me, I think this sounds like a blast, and I really hope that the NBA does change their mind and televise this, because I think it would be an absolute, you know, made-for-TV event. But if you're Kevin Durant, or if you're in either of their shoes, would you want that pressure? Would you not?
Well, I empathize with KD, certainly, and I agree with you that we should televise it, because some of the player reactions on selection snubs or if someone gets picked in front of someone else. What I would do if I were forced to pick the teams, and like I
if
said,
if you were forced, if you were honored to be voted to,
if I were picking the teams, and it was on me to do that, and I was selecting, the way you could deal with some of those pressures and maybe the hurt feelings is, and we may see this if this is something that goes year to year, you could all of a sudden honor college allegiances. You could maybe we see a team of Kentucky guys against the rest of the NBA. We kind of talk about how much fun that could be, or even sneaker allegiances. Whether your team it's Team Nike against the rest of the sneakers, or Under Armour and Steph Curry. So I think there could be some fun ways to sort of work your way around some of the hurt feelings that could happen. And I admit that is a little bit of a cop-out, but that might be the route I would go.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because before we started talking, that never would have occurred to me, but that might be one of the reasons why Durant doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about pressure. I was thinking more of like feeling the pressure that, hey, what if you don't pick Draymond Green? You know, as you go back to Golden State, is Green going to be ticked? Is he not going to pass you the ball, not set you a hard screen? That was more of like my understanding of what the pressure would be. But you're right. There are some other pressures that, hey, man, we both went to, you know, whatever university. Why
maybe
didn't
you share an agent.
Or,
maybe you share an agent even.
Yeah. Or, I mean, the sneaker angle is interesting, too, that, you know, will some of these outside companies say, hey, you know, let's pick some Nike guys, make our guys
look
good.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, I think, in all honesty. It's just, it's a lot more fun. Personally, I would want that honor of picking these guys, and I think each one of these guys should, because who doesn't want to play GM, right? Isn't that what fantasy everything is about? Like, you get an opportunity to pick these guys, and now you're talking again about the greatest pickup game ever played, and you get to pick the greatest players ever to play in this pickup game. And I would think, too, selfishly, if I'm one of these superstars, I'm thinking, who suits my game the best, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm Durant and I'm a shooter, or I'm Steph Curry and I'm a shooter, who are you going to be picking? My team would be guards and rebounders. Rebound, kick it out, pass me the ball, I'm shooting. And maybe, you know, that's what I would do. Or if you're a big guy, right, you want guys who are good at entry passes. Set me up. So I think there's some fun ways to look at this and understand the pressure that some of these guys might be under to make the picks. But I think at the end of the day, we got to remember it's all in good fun. And hopefully, again, it gets televised. Because, like, you think about, the greatest show on television, which was that on NBA.com, or excuse me, NBA TV, and it was Steve Kerr, Reggie Miller, Open Court, I think it was called, where the guys all just sat down and they talked about a topic, and they just cracked on each other and, you know, brought up memories of other stuff. Like, it was so much fun to see those guys so relaxed and in their element, having fun with each other and joking on each other and dogging each other. And I can just imagine, you know, if you got all these guys in a room and you had to pick like that, some of the reaction and fun stuff that could come out of it. So we'll wait and see. All-Star Game, though, is rapidly approaching, just a couple of weeks away out in Los Angeles. That'll do it for this episode of WolvesCast Audio on Demand. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Fokey. Don't forget, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, Amazon Alexa, the Echo unit. Just say, hey, Alexa, play podcast WolvesCast. It'll dial you up to the latest episode. You can catch our daily content up there as well. Just ask Alexa to play podcast Wolves Minute for a daily update on your Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll talk to you again next week as the Wolves will be out on the West Coast facing off against the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Warriors. We'll talk all about that in the second half of January right here on WolvesCast Audio on Demand on the Timberwolves Radio Network.